Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. I'm excited to share what God has placed on my heart from a simple passage in Scripture regarding a woman who'd been sick a long time. And this was the woman with the issue of blood. And the title of this message is Overcoming Fear with Faith. Beloved, that is perhaps the most important arsenal in our weapons. We've got, as far as our spiritual warfare, we've got the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. And it is through the Word of God that we shall be victorious. It is the only offensive weapon we have. When you think about that, when it talks about the armor of God, I mean, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, that's defensive, actually, but it's the sword, and also our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, our helmet of salvation. In the natural realm, a soldier would have that as a defensive protection from the work of the enemy. But the sword of the Spirit is the sword, is the Word of God. And that's the offensive weapon. So that's why it's so important we learn when we pray to be able to use the Word of God, because that is what is going to make our prayers effective. So we've been looking at the setting. We've been looking at the woman found in the passages of Scripture that describe the healing of this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. And we are going to see that action was required on her part. First of all, the woman had said within herself, and that was the importance of faith. She may not have spoken it directly outside, but in fact, one of the Gospels said it was within her that she heard about Jesus, and she was so amazed. She was so excited because all the medical profession just totally disappointed her. They didn't help her at all. In fact, she was worse rather than better. And so she was an outcast. She was unclean as far as the society of that day. And so she was fearful. That's why she didn't come up to him and say, "Lord, I really need your healing touch. Could you heal me, please?" She didn't do that. She was afraid of the people. She was afraid of what Jesus would say. And so what was the next thing she needed to do? Well, beloved, faith requires action. And there was indeed action on her part. And we see many examples in the Word where effort on the part of the individual was demanded before the blessing can be given. Now, let's look at an example found in the Gospel of Mark. And this is recorded in the 3rd chapter, verse 5. Let me give you the background. I'll start reading at verse 1. "And he," that's Jesus, "entered the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they," those are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, "watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him," because Jesus had a reputation. He was a healer. "And so he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth," or "stand up, brother." And in verse 5, it says, let me read verse 4. "He saith unto them," he's now speaking to the religious group, he said, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" Well, the answer should have been obvious, but they didn't even answer him. They held their peace. And verse 5 says, "And when he looked round about on them with anger," he was angry, being grieved, he was sad, he was angry for the hardness of their hearts. This man had been suffering. "He saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand." And this is where the action, he was given a command by Jesus, and he stretched it out. He just could have said, "Well, I can't do it. My hand is not able to do that. I've lived with this hand. I know exactly what it can do." But he was willing to try because Jesus said it. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And then in Luke, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to read verse 24, it was the healing of the man with palsy. Well, let me give a little bit of a setting. This was the setting was Jesus was in a house, and there were a group of men. They were friends. They had taken this man who had palsy, and they wanted to bring him to Jesus so he could be healed. They were friends. They loved him. They wanted to see him delivered from this condition. But there were so many people, they were crowding the house, they couldn't even get in. There was no way they could, especially with a man on basically like a stretcher. And so what they did, they were that determined. They went on top of the house. They went through the tiling and lowered him down with his couch into the middle of the room. And when Jesus saw their faith, verse 20, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And of course, the religious group, the scribes, the Pharisees, began to think in themselves, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And of course, Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. And he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Listen, Jesus was amazing, impeccable in his logic. You just couldn't you couldn't come back with any answer. He just ended the conversation. But he said, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sin. The very thing they were questioning, the very thing they said was blasphemy. He turned to the sick of the palsy, and he said, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that his couch whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, and were filled with fear, the fear of the Lord, we have seen strange things today. And of course, those that were opposed to him, they were really troubled because they thought, this is getting out of hand. And of course, it ultimately they got together, and they were the occasion of the crucifixion and death of Jesus. But they couldn't answer his question. Okay, let's look at some more. Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 27. Let me get where I can read it. All right, well, let me start with 24. And Jesus and his disciples came to Capernaum. I'm just sharing what happened. And someone came to Peter and said, again, in an accusing way, doth not your master pay tribute? In other words, does your leader pay taxes? And he saith, Peter, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. He stopped him, and he's saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? And he made Peter think about that. And Peter saith unto him, Of strangers, obviously. Peter saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. In other words, Jesus was concerned about proprieties doing the right thing as far as civil government. Go thou to the sea. What an amazing task he gives him. Go to the sea, cast in a hook. They were fishermen, of course. It wasn't unusual for Peter or the others. Take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. What? Jesus had the most unusual, creative ways of showing the power of God. Can you imagine that? He ordained a fish. Now, where they got the fish, got the money. God could have just supernaturally created it, or he could have picked it up off the bottom of the, you know, relatively close to the shore. Somebody had dropped it. Anyway, what an amazing thing. But Peter was willing to do what Jesus said. All right, then, now let's go to, what's my other reference? Luke 17. Luke 17, the 14th verse. I'll start at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This was Jesus. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were not allowed to come close to people that were whole. And they lifted up their voice, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, he didn't go to them, he didn't lay hands on them. This is all he said. He didn't say, be healed, didn't wave his hand over them. He just said, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, because that was part of the law at that time. But as they went, that shows the action. They were willing to do what he said. What did they have to lose, you know? So they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. And then there's a really, it's a touching and beautiful story. None of them were ungrateful, but one did come back, and he was a Samaritan. And he said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So Jesus was very aware of that. And then let's show the last one I'm going to give with you. It was John 11:39. This is a familiar passage, the healing of Lazarus. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha objects. She says, oh, you don't want to do that. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou heard me. And then he called Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth out of the tomb, bound, but he came walking, and it was a mighty miracle. So you see, the people, I mean, Martha said, well, I believe he's going to rise on the resurrection, but Jesus was talking about right then and there. And so we see not only the importance of belief, beloved, but also the importance of action. He said, take away the stone. And so they did that, and that's when Lazarus was not able to move the stone himself. He was all bound up. How could he? But this shows that our actions must follow our faith. Praise God. Well, there's so much more to share, and I hope you can be with me tomorrow, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. If you have difficult situations you're facing, there's some special need in your life, I invite you to write and share your needs. Only I read and answer the mail. And if you use email, I invite you to share your mailing address so I could respond personally, but I will always confirm receipt and pray for you. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.